I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu, and on this week's episode of the Recap Show, I have in studio at Stephen LeBron. Should we not say your government name or?
No, government name is fine.
Okay. Alex Wong, writer at Places, Bylines, GQ, Slam, New Yorker, Yahoo Sports, New York Times. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Will. Shout out Joe Wolfon.
Yeah, shout out Joe Wolfon right off the bat. And cash too. So what are we going to talk about this week's episode? We're going to get a lot of behind the scenes stuff because you're around the Raptors a lot. And I believe you were the one who broke the news that Kawhi was appearing on How Hungry Are You? So we'll talk about that. But let's first talk about another report out of the Raptors right now from Josh Lewenberg at TSN. It dropped, I guess, Tuesday or Monday afternoon that the Raptors are, quote unquote, increasingly confident in re-signing Kawhi Leonard. Their pitch basically is that they've had a year to build trust with him. You know, they've built familiarity with the program. The health has been a huge factor, obviously, with Alex McKechnie leading the charge there. And also, you know, no big deal, but there's an extra $50 million that the Raptors can offer that other teams can't put on the table this summer. I mean, what are you hearing about? What are you hearing, Asian Woj, about about Kawhi Leonard and his chances of re-signing with the Raptors?
First of all, my Asian Woj only pertains to How Hungry Are You? But I read Josh's article, and you know, I do agree that I think people, if you just talk to them in general, do feel like that it's not some kind of foregone conclusion, like everyone is saying, that on July 1st, Kawhi is just going to sign with the Clippers. And you know, the one thing that Josh's article made a really good point of is that all of these things, the familiarity, working with him on this load management program, like if this is the stuff that he cares about and the $50 million, right, then the Raptors obviously have a chance, right? Like I would put them in the driver's seat. But if his plan and Kawhi's people, his uncle and everything, want him to be in LA and he wants to go to California, then none of this stuff matters, right? So that's like, that's honestly like that's all it comes down to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, right? And I think the Raptors, as you pointed out, like they've made their pitch as best as possible, right? Like not only have they taken care of his health and built trust, which is obviously a big thing. That's obviously, we'll never know definitively what happened with between the Spurs and Kawhi, but it seemed like the falling out was over differences in terms of how much they were respecting his health and how much Kawhi has wanted to basically preserve that. And, you know, the Raptors have done a good job with that. But, I mean, you know, the Raptors have also made a good pitch. Like, they've been ambitious, right? They went out and made win-now trades. They brought in steady veterans who, like, you know, Marc Gasol, for example. They obviously showed a lot of ambition to go upgrade the team at the trade deadline. You know, they already have an established core. Kyle, obviously, has been, you know, pretty good. And I think him and Kawhi have gotten closer as the year has gone on. And you just look at it. This team is very good. And one of the things that also really stands out to me is just, like, how many things that broke right for the Raptors, right? Like, you look at the team. He's, like, really good friends with Serge Ibaka. Like, when the Raptors signed Serge Ibaka or traded for him back in, like, 2017, they didn't think, oh, down the line, Kawhi's going to be here and they're going to be great friends and he's going to call him Cape Town or whatever.
Serge has, like, earned his money.
Oh, definitely.
Just by being in this place this year and creating that friendship with Kawhi.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't made a single joke about his contract, which is completely fair for a guy of his talents. But,
and no, Pascal too, right?
Pascal,
like I feel like, I don't know if you agree with me, but I feel like we should talk about Pascal like even more than we are. Like the fact that if Kawhi's looking at this from a basketball perspective, an on-court perspective, and he's trying to win championships and he wants to contend. I mean, you can talk about like his chemistry with Kyle, but you don't know, like Kyle's going into the last year of his contract next year. He just turned 33 yesterday. I don't know, like Kyle's probably not in the long-term plans of this team, right? But, you know, you go forward with Pascal, you know, wherever like OG develops into. And the fact, like you mentioned, right, like the Raptors have this program in place to manage his health going forward if he wants. And, you know, it's just like stuff that people shouldn't overlook too. Like the Raptors and MLSE, like they're willing to spend the money, right? Like if Kawhi wants that max contract and they need to spend, et cetera, et cetera, and go into luxury tax and things like that. Like that's been an issue with teams in the past, right? Like mm-hmm. You've seen certain teams like OKC had to break up their team because they were worried about being up in the tax, right? Like yeah. So many years ago. Like these things shouldn't be taken for granted either. Like I feel like Kawhi probably sees this organization as a place that is willing to do all these things. And you might not get that sometimes, right? And stability and everything, like you talk about all the free agents that are thinking about maybe going to the Knicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at the Knicks organization versus the Raptors organization, right? Like, what do the Raptors, like, when Masai sits down on July 1st, what does he really need to sell?
Nothing at that point. Yeah. I mean, he's already done everything at that point, right? He just needs to put the max contract on the table. To the question on the max contract, and this might sound absurd because Kawhi, obviously, healthy, is, like, top five NBA player, arguably top three at times. Do you have any reservation that because he does have this degenerative health issue, are you at all concerned about giving him a 5-year max contract based on the fact that, look, you're probably going to have to load manage 15 to 20 games every year?
I don't. And I mean, part of that is just because, you know, who else are the Raptors going to be able to get of a player of that caliber, right?
That's fair.
And that's why you trade DeMar and bring in a guy like that so you can pitch him for a year, right? Because it's not like guys like Kyrie or KD or whoever you want to put as like a tier one free agent is going to take a meeting with the Raptors, right? Or at least we don't think, right?
What about Gravis Vasquez being best friends with Kevin Durant and Drake shouting out Kevin Durant and OVO
Whatever happened
Fest?
To that, man? People keep selling us lies.
Drake really got hit with a fine, a tampering fine. Because he got the crowd at OVO to chant KD's name.
Yo, KD wore a David Price Blue Jays jersey.
Yeah, what do you think?
And he hung out with DeMar. Like, did you expect like Raptors Reddit to not blow up?
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out Raptors Reddit. I have no reservations about that. Obviously, it's a risk, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you should pretend that it's not. But that's also a risk that they're mitigating by putting him on this low management plan. And am I cool with him sitting out, like, playing 55, 60 games a season? Yes. And I think...
Okay. Not 60 games a season.
No, but, like, no, like playing 60.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah,
playing 60
okay,
games
yeah.
during the regular season? Of course. And I think that's why, like, this playoffs is, like, so interesting. Because if they lose, say, to the Sixers in the second round, mm-hmm. then there's going to be so much backlash, right? Like, if it's like a chemistry issue or whatever you want to call it that gets them eliminated,
mm-hmm.
people are going to be able to look back with the hindsight and be like, oh, well, this didn't work. But, you know, if, and I'm expecting them to play really well, especially Kawhi in the playoffs, like if it goes well, you know, they make the conference finals or they make the finals, then... If this is a plan going forward, like I'm perfectly fine with it. Championship teams don't care about the regular season. The Raptors are treating mm-hmm. the regular season in a way, not like as disrespectful as like the Warriors are with the regular season, but like championship teams, they prepare for the playoffs, right? And the Raptors see themselves as a championship team. So why care about the regular season?
Yeah, and I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, after the Raptors have battled so many injuries, like they're among the top, they've been among the top 5 to 10 teams in, you know, games lost to injury, but right now, the Raptors are completely healthy yep. at the right time. And you look at what's going on with the Bucks, you look at what's going on with the Sixers to some extent, you look at what's going on with, you know, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford sort of, you know, wearing down a little bit in Boston. Like, yeah, I mean, you want to make sure you prioritize. And I think that going back to what you said about Pascal, like that's why Pascal is so important, because at the end of the day, you still need a guy who can, you know, who has young, fresh legs, who can carry you through a lot of these games where Kawhi is load managing. And I think, you know, I mean, someone should really track down the correct stats on this, but I feel like Pascal is averaging close to 20 points a game whenever Kawhi sits. Like, remember when Kawhi sat against the Wizards and he had mm-hmm. 44 points? Mm-hmm. Like, no one thought this was possible with Pascal, and if you feel like the Raptors have this developmental core in place where you can get guys like Pascal to take the leap, then why couldn't that happen with more of the prospects, right? Like, you look at a guy like OG, for example. I think he's had a disappointing year, and Nurse has talked about it repeatedly about how, you know, OG will have a lot of good games, and then you have some bad games, and it'll just, like, sort of corrupt the whole thing. And his whole thing right now is trying to get him to limit the bad games. Like, I feel like the same was said about, you know, Pascal last year. And, you know, I think in terms of ability, OG and Pascal are, at least where they started from, like, pretty similar.
Yeah, I think the thing with OG too, like obviously he was dealing with some personal things during training camp. So like that disrupted like the rhythm of how his season started. And like people forget too that he was a starter last year, right? Mm-hmm. And this year he's been thrusted into a different role. And I think like sometimes those things just kind of snowball. Like it's hard to like once your season and your rhythm gets thrown off at the start of training camp and you're in a new role, like the season just keeps going. Like
yeah,
it doesn't wait for you, right?
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of like Norm last year.
Yeah.
I remember the start of last year, like Norm was supposed to be in the starting lineup.
And then OG took his spot.
OG took his spot. Now he had to go to the bench. And then, you know, and the way Norm is, like he probably like worked too hard in a way, right? Like mm-hmm. he pressed too much. And you see Norm now, like this year, like, you know, he's relaxed.
Yep.
You know, he's in his role. I mean, still inconsistent sometimes, obviously, but like he's
that's
a better
just his
player.
Game, to be honest.
Yeah, that's just his game, but like he's way more comfortable this year, right? So this might be just a case of, you know, like I think you mentioned too, like right now you just need OG to be a 3-and-D guy.
That's it.
In the playoffs, especially, right? Come off the bench, be that guy,
mm-hmm.
knock down shots. Don't try to do anything that you can't do, like outside of your comfort zone.
That is the thing with OG.
I'm not trying to tell him to just stand in the corner, but like, you know?
He gets like, really enthusiastic at times.
Yeah, but like I think it's another thing, right? Like if Kawhi comes back, obviously Pascal is at his level right now and probably going higher.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got OG and the Raptors have a team that can win 50 games without Kawhi in the regular season, which is basically what they're doing this year.
Right. And that's all they need to do.
And that's all they need to do. Because that's another thing that you said about like things have worked out. A lot of things have worked out for the Raptors is this load management thing would be under the microscope a lot more if they were like a sixth seed right now.
Oh yeah, for
right?
sure.
Cause like they've done what they needed to do in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
right? They've got the number two seed. Some people might want them to be the number one seed, but I personally don't really care.
But who cares?
I don't care. Like, they've done what they needed to do. They've shown Kawhi in a way that, like, you know, without you, we have this core, right?
Right.
And with you, like, let's see what the playoff team's going to look like.
Right, for sure. You're at the arena a lot more than I am. Do you know where Lawrence Frank is sitting at? And have you actually ran into Lawrence Frank at the ACC?
The only time I ran into Lawrence Frank, I was in the same room as him at All-Star Weekend at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Wow.
So he was there because I think Ralph Lawler was the Clippers broadcaster, was being inducted.
Oh, me, oh, my.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt some tension between Lawrence and I.
Okay.
Yeah, I felt like you could cut the, you know, the tension, cut the tension in the room with a knife. Might be just me.
Wow.
But I don't know. I feel like sometimes like I see a guy that looks like Lawrence Frank in the catwalk. But like, you know, I don't know. But the Clippers are always there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scouts, whatever they may be. And you know, Steve Ballmer showed up earlier this year, which I thought was kind of hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, he was like, his whole thing was like, oh, I'm with the Clippers on the road trip. So then he like four appearances showed up in Detroit the game before that.
Just so it wasn't just Toronto.
He's like, oh, no. I'm here to see Tom Gores. Like, yeah.
When does an opposing owner like make himself so visible courtside at an opposing team's game?
Yeah. It's like, unless it's like Mark Cuban who like has a track record of doing this. Like,
yeah,
this is it.
Anyways, I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but I'm really rooting for the Clippers to not succeed in their plan. I just think it would be kind of funny.
Yeah, likewise.
Plus, they can get someone else.
I mean, how much help does Lee Jenkins need? You know, like, I do feel like Lee Jenkins going there and how much Lee was adored with the media has helped with how much good press the Clippers have had. Like, objectively, the Clippers are a nice success story, but I feel like that's not a coincidence there. One reason that got me really hopeful for why Kawhi might re-sign, aside from the fact that my career is now tied to this, but, you know, regardless, besides that, was the fact that Kawhi did appear on How Hungry Are You. I mean, look, man, you're not going to go eat worms with Serge Ibaka if you're not re-signing with the Raptors. Let's be real. Alex, just tell us right now. What was said? What was said after that teaser?
Oh, the Kawhi teaser, right?
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Wow.
I got to no comment you. I got to big time you.
Why else would we have you on this podcast? I called you Asian Woj for nothing.
I thought we were friends, man.
You're Asian Shams.
I thought we were friends.
Actually, Shams is Asian. But,
So Kawhi did go on How Hungry Are You a couple weeks ago. I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago. And yeah, it was a big deal, I think.
Internet. Like it literally...
Yeah. So first of all, like I help out like behind the scenes with the show, just with some scripting and things like that.
Right.
And so I was there and I know that Serge and his people have been trying to get Kawhi on the show for most of the regular season.
Definitely.
And the schedule finally lined up and it worked out. And it felt like an event too, man. Like, you know, I've been around.
Were you tense in that room?
I was intense. But like, I just think there was, I mean, I don't know if this sounds corny, but like there was a buzz.
Yeah.
Like it's just, oh. It's just like there was a buzz when he walked in.
Yeah.
Like it was different from when like Kyle or like Jeremy Lin walked in. Like it was just, it's just another
level. How dare
level.
You say that about Jeremy? We got to stay behind Jeremy at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
This
we still stand time. Jeremy. We still stand Jeremy.
We'll talk about Jeremy.
Shout out Jeremy and Jin.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, he was there. And you know what? He was very open. He was very candid. Mm-hmm. I know Kyle was on Danny Green's podcast yesterday and he said that Kawhi isn't as quiet as you think he is, right?
Yeah, you got that from my Twitter account, by the way.
I did. Sources,
I was here. I was here.
Sources, William Liu. But Kawhi is a regular dude.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't, we like to make jokes. I mean, I love to make my Kawhi jokes. But like, I think it's just a matter of him choosing what to show mm-hmm. to the media, which I respect. Like, I don't think you need to be an open book.
Yeah, I don't need to get Instagram.
All the time. That's right. That's right. Like, you of all people will relate to that.
I already share enough of my life.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, I don't want to say, like, everything that he talked about, like, mm-hmm. on the show, because that's, like, for when the show comes out. And I think that episode is going to come out right at the start of the playoffs or near
okay.
the start of the playoffs.
All right.
But he was...
Is he going to drop it at 1 a.m. like he did with the Gasol brothers? Because I swear to God, I was on Serge Ibaka's YouTube page and trying to refresh the YouTube app at least, like, six times throughout the day. And I went to sleep, and I was like, this is disappointing. And then the last thing I did, I looked at one more time, and I was like, wow. There he is with the Gasol brothers eating cow heart.
He did answer a lot of fun questions. He talked about like his favorite actors, movies. Mm-hmm. He talked about Toronto probably more than he has. He addressed his garage, his infamous garage to garage
yeah,
comment.
Yeah. So he's in the path. Like this is like the Pokemon forums where you can like you'll understand where to find Suicune. Like this is like if you want to find Kawhi, you gotta just hang out in the path between Bay Station and
Yeah, so he talked about Toronto, and he okay. talked about a lot of things, and then he tried some food.
Nice, and nice. Don't spoil what the food is.
Yeah, yeah, can't spoil any of that. But yeah, no, he was like very candid, and you get the sense just from watching the way Serge and Kawhi interact that they have built up a friendship. And like, I don't know, if, like obviously that's not going to be the X factor of
He's not gonna stay for
resigning,
Serge.
But. You know, I think that stuff matters too, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
right?
Him and Norm get along because they have like a history with San Diego.
That's what
like
I'm
that,
saying. Like, how lucky was it that they also have Norm and Norm's mom has been like apparently in Kawhi's mom's ear because they know each other.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, man, Toronto's great. I mean, yeah. the organization's yeah. great. They've taken care of Norm. They gave yeah. him a contract, even though they didn't really have to give him that much money. Yeah. But you know, whatever. Yeah. Norm's there.
Yeah. And Kawhi's locker room is next to Patrick McCaw's and OG's.
Okay.
And after games, like they're always chatting, like where they're talking about like. You know, their favorite hip-hop albums or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, new thing that just dropped.
Right.
Like, I think I always hear kind of OG recommending things for Kawhi.
Yeah.
Like, he's comfortable in there. But, I mean, again, like, I don't think we should, like, oversell some
yeah,
of this
for
stuff.
Because,
sure. like, guys are going to get along, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not hard to get along with
but
a guy
I mean,
like Kawhi.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, there's the perception of Kawhi that always makes him out to be some sort of, like, a... alienated
like he's distant
kind of,
like he's distant yeah. from the rest of the team and
yeah
that happened last year obviously like to the yeah. point where they had to call a team meeting and ask him if he was going to come back right
yeah and then right afterwards Tony Parker was like I mean my quad injury was 100 times worse and I'm 100 years old so I don't know why you're not playing it's carrying us to the finals
no,
one last time before
I think,
Mono retires
well put it this way like when the team traded for Kawhi last summer
mm-hmm.
if you know someone told you that they would be in this position right now with all the different dynamics that's happening and all yeah. the things that we talked about, I think this is like almost near like best case scenario, no?
Yeah, exactly. Right? The Raptors are so good. I mean, they've even gone through a lot of adversity with injuries and things like that. That like, you know, last year, for example, the Raptors were one of the healthiest teams in the league. And this year, you know, they basically haven't had, you know, their full squad since I think the Phoenix game, mm-hmm. which just seems like forever ago. And they still... They're still like they have the second best record in the NBA, and you know they're in a good spot. And so, no, it's a good pitch. I have other questions about how hungry are you aside from Kawhi's appearance. Actually, I guess I'll talk about. Let me ask you about the Jeremy and Kyle's appearances as well. Obviously, they weren't touted as highly, but to me, yesterday I was in the studio here, like this exact studio where they were filming, like inside the green room. Which, by the way, you should definitely listen to that episode with Kyle. This is not just me shilling for the company; like, it's legitimately a great episode.
But you're also shilling.
Well, you know, they do pay me, but it really struck me how different like athletes sort of how open athletes get when they're talking to each other, as compared to when they talk to the media and how forward facing everything is. Right? Because like they're sort of a and that's, I think that's why we're so lucky to have a show like Inside the Green Room and also How Hungry Are You? Because, like, you know, you get to see athletes kind of interact with each other and in a more open and transparent way. And so how were the Jeremy and Kyle episodes, just to tease those two?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Before I talk about Jeremy and Kyle, it's like, people saw the teaser with Serge and Kawhi, of Serge asking Kawhi if he's going to come back to Toronto, right? That's a question that if, like, I sat down with Kawhi for a podcast, I mean, you could ask it, but, you know, probably wouldn't answer a question. Like, Kawhi gave, I mean, obviously Kawhi didn't say yes or no, but he gave an answer that, he gave an answer.
Okay.
Like an actual answer. Like, you know, like a productive answer, I would say. With Jeremy and Kyle, you know, Jeremy, obviously, it was fun, you know. He had his...
Did he get served hot soup?
I was in charge of scripting the questions and the food.
Okay.
So they will be very Asian tailored.
Wow. I'm imagining Serge speaking Cantonese.
Oh, yeah. Serge might be speaking some Mandarin on that episode.
Oh, my God.
Is one thing that I will tease. And, you know, obviously, I don't want to spoil everything, but... They
Did you
also
learn that at Rosan?
So there were several Rosan references.
Oh my God.
And most of them came from, well, actually all of them came from Serge.
Wow.
And so Jeremy had his, I believe, manager that was there with him.
Right.
And they also wanted to film content for his kind of own social and his Asian audience.
Mm-hmm.
So they got, like, after we finished filming the actual episode, Serge and Jeremy filmed some stuff for the Asian audience. And it was funny because some of the stuff Jeremy had to explain to Serge that people in Asia, their sense of humor is a little different.
Oh, okay.
So whether it's like, you know, when it comes to food, right?
Yeah,
like if it's like, if Jeremy is like feeding Serge a particular type of food, like they will find that like to be like the funniest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to prep Serge a little. He had to prep Serge a little about why we're doing some of these goofy things.
I see.
So that was fun. Kyle was good too. You know, I think you probably saw the same Kyle yesterday with Danny.
He was in a great mood. I mean, it was his birthday and everything, but he was in a great mood.
Yeah, and then Kyle has built up a friendship with Serge too, because it's been, I guess, this is their second full season together now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they talked about Kawhi. They talked about Allen Iverson. Talked about Kyle's mom.
Yeah.
And just, you know, got into a lot of things. And obviously, like, the show gets edited down, not a lot of stuff makes it in, but I feel like, I mean, I'm biased because I scripted the questions, but I feel like the conversations are really good on these episodes.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm very excited. I the season two of How Hungry, by the way, the production of it has improved, I feel like, and the way it's been put out has improved. Yes. You know, like that teaser with Kawhi is brilliant. I'm a little bit suspicious. It does seem like it was edited a little bit, the question, but I guess I'll wait to see.
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny if that pause was edited.
Wow. Okay, I got some questions specific about the show.
Okay.
One.
I might no comment some of these.
Okay, that's fair. One, does Serge Ibaka actually cook all the food?
Serge is involved in the cooking process.
Ah, okay. Wow. All right.
How do you like being big timed right now?
Two, does Serge play Mafuzi Style by Daju in the kitchen while he cooks?
Serge likes to play his own music, whether it's that song or he likes to play music while he's cooking. He's always asking the film crew if it's okay to play music, because sometimes they might not
it's
want music
house,
as far
man.
As he yeah oh, but like okay. he loves to like have a good time while he's prepping the food.
Okay. Three, what happens to the food after the shoot?
Most of us try the food.
So, really?
Yeah, all of us that are there, like the film crew,
wow,
myself and other people. Serge has a thing where he'll always make us try it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally just don't even wait for him to ask. Like once the guest is
gone. You're like, oh, there's chicken feet?
Yeah,
I'm down.
I'm like, yeah, whatever's
straight
on the plate.
Straight up dim sum item.
Like I'll eat it. So I've tried everything that's been on the show that I've been a part of.
Well, how's the flavor? That's the one question they never ask. They're always like, oh, wow, they've eaten it, right? But the flavor, we don't really know. Is it just salt and pepper? Does it taste
salt
like
salt and pepper? Salt and pepper, baby.
Does it taste like filet mignon?
Many things that he makes taste like filet mignon.
Yeah. Okay.
Salt and pepper, though, all day. Yeah. I think Serge has embraced the salt and pepper thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's become a self-aware thing.
Good. Because, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the ingredients have gotten better, too. Because, like, at the first episode, it was, like, Dollarama salt and pepper. Like, you could just tell that it was just freshly purchased.
And this is the thing I try to tell Serge,
and you're
too.
Squeezing herbs out of a herb paste. Like, why are you not using fresh herbs? You're just, it's like glue almost. But anyway,
this is the thing I try to tell Serge too, is that the show, obviously the cooking element is cool, but the show really is driven by his personality.
Yes, for sure.
Like, I think, you know, people see Serge maybe a particular way on the court. He can be a very like intense guy, right? But
right.
To see him, like, you know, in his own element,
playful.
Yeah. And it goes back to what you said, right? Like, when these guys are in their own kind of zone, mm-hmm. they're able to be themselves. And it's super cool for him to kind of use his access to bring in these guys, right? And I think Raptors fans really appreciate it.
Definitely.
Like, look at the lineup that he's lining up for this kind of season two, right?
Yeah.
He got Mark with Powell, Jeremy, Kyle, Kawhi. He's already gotten pretty much the rest of the team
yeah.
on the show before. Like,
yeah. So Pat McCaw and Jody Meeks not coming on the show? It's unfortunate. I wanted to see Jody Meeks like eat a cricket or something.
Yeah, Jody Meeks eating a cricket. I mean, that still might happen. He might be too busy taking Jeremy Lin's minutes.
Wow. Okay, we'll talk about Jeremy. But yeah, this is great insight. I mean, look, personally, I love the show. For the purpose of this podcast, I went back and rewatched every single episode. But also, it was just for my own personal enjoyment because it's a great show and it's made me appreciate Serge a lot more. Like. And I think it's done the same thing for fans. Like, Serge is gone. Last year, he was a little bit disappointing in terms of how the fan base would have received him. And to be honest, how he played. But then, you know, with the show coming out and how much he's defended Kawhi, and also how much he's, you know, done better in a different role. Like, people love Serge, man. Serge is one of the most popular Raptors on the team now, which would have sounded kind of hard to believe last year or around March. So, by the way, yeah, I have Raptors signed Jody Meeks on this list, but I don't think we want to talk about this too much. So let's just go on as two Asians. Let's talk about watching Jeremy Lin struggle for the Raptors. He's so close to home now, but I don't know. For me personally, it's just been, you know, obviously, like, you will cover the team as you know, as objectively as you can, and you know, you root for everyone's success. But, I mean, at the same time, just watching Jeremy, because of how isolated he is, because of the spotlight on him, it has been really, really tough. Because I did have some... I was really excited when the Raptors signed Jeremy Lin, right? It was at a time when the Raptors needed a backup point guard. We didn't know Fred was going to be hurt for a month at that time. But still, it felt like Jeremy was going to step in and do a lot of what DeLon Wright was supposed to do, especially offensively. And it just hasn't quite panned out. And, you know, I know Lin works really hard. And I know you know Lin a lot better than I do. But I know Jeremy puts a lot of pressure on himself. I know Jeremy works really hard, and just speak to his mindset throughout this whole thing, because I think it's got to be really tough on him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's tough because when he came here after his first game, he talked to the reporters after the game, and he talked about how excited he was after all the injuries that he's had to deal with the last couple of years to finally be on a winning team, right? Like, you forget, like, he hasn't been to the playoffs, I think, since he was with Charlotte.
Yeah, and they were like a first round out.
He
is,
hasn't
is
been
that
the to
year
the,
they lost to the Heat? And
yeah, they lost to the Heat in seven games, I think.
Right.
I don't think Jeremy's never been to the second round because, you know, he was hurt. Well, wow. Yeah, like...
The modern day Tracy McGrady.
Houston, he got knocked out by Dame Lillard, right? Dame hit that shot in game six. So he was so excited to be part of this winning team. He even, you know, said he feels like he was cheating a little bit, just like joining a 50-win team and, like, you know, towards the end of the season. And, you know, I think you kind of nailed it in that he's the type of player that will be really hard on himself
mm-hmm.
once he's not playing well. And I think he so desperately wanted to make a good first impression when he came here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's tough. And he had a window there. You know, Kyle was hurt. Fred was out
mm-hmm.
to kind of make his mark a little bit. And, you know, he obviously didn't outside of a few, you know, decent shooting games. And now it looks like the playoff rotation is going to be settled and it's going to be tough for him to get minutes.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. It's disappointing. It's fun following him on like social and like Instagram and seeing him check out restaurants around the city in Toronto. Feel mm-hmm. like he's taking advantage of that. His mom was here for his first game. So I mean, otherwise, I think like in general, I mean, I think the teammates really like having him around. I think anyone that you talk to about Jeremy, like once NBA guys get to know Jeremy, I feel like, and it's not just because he's Asian. I know it's probably easy for us to say too, that like they probably find him to be like a breath of fresh air or to be a little different because he is different. But like, I think it's just his personality.
Yeah.
Like, he makes people feel really comfortable. And I think people see how hard he works.
Yeah.
Serge talked a little bit about that, too, when Jeremy came through for How Hungry Are You, was that he was really impressed with his work ethic. And I think that type of stuff makes players really respect him. And he's just a really good guy to have in the room. But, yeah, like, the on-court stuff, you wish he was playing better. But it looks like maybe, like, the window has closed now for him to try to get those extra minutes that might have been there, right?
Right. But, I mean, he's still going to be a great guy to have in the locker room in terms of just keeping everyone level-headed. And who knows? You got to stay ready in the playoffs, too, because, you know, like, we didn't see last year Bebe, for example. Which, by the way, what's happened to Bebe recently has been really sad. He's come out recently and talked about how he's battled, like, alcoholism and depression and things like that. So we're hoping for the best for Bebe and that he can pull through. And because he is a very talented player, but I mean, like, seriously, like no one saw Bebe coming in. Was it game one where he came in and made a huge impact for the Raptors?
Right. Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? And so you just have to stay ready. Like, there is probably going to be a moment where Jeremy will have a part to play in the playoffs, even if it's something small. And I hope he does well with it, because if I'm looking at Jeremy Lin's career right now, like, it is a little bit concerning that, like, I'm not entirely convinced that he will get another shot in the NBA. I think he should, because you know, what he showed before the injury and then what he showed since the injury, at least with Atlanta, like, he was still a productive player. And it's one thing to be, like, you know, come in the middle of the season and as a third guard for a contending team and, you know, struggle in that role. Like, a lot of players will struggle in that role, but I think Jeremy should still have a part to play. And it would be really be a shame if the NBA lost Jeremy after this season, because I think he still deserves to at least have one or two more years at this whole thing.
I think, too, what he did in Atlanta, and you hear guys like Trae Young talking about it after, is like, he can be a really good vet for a young team. And obviously, I think at this age, he probably wants to be in a situation where he's winning in the playoffs and competing. But, you know, you don't get to choose those things a lot of times. So if it's a matter of him being on a younger team, rebuilding on the come up, and he's just a guy that's playing like 20 minutes off the bench and just being a good kind of mentor to the younger guys, like, I feel like he still has that role to play if he wants.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to take a quick break right here, and then when we come back, we are going to rank the Raptors in terms of playoff trustworthiness. This is one of the conversations we had during the Raptors' win over the Warriors at Scotiabank earlier in the year, so I wanted to continue that conversation after we take this quick break. Welcome back to the Raptors Recap Podcast. Still here with Alex. We're going to rank the Raptors in terms of playoff trustworthiness. And the reason I put this on the list was because we were watching, I think, the game of the year, at least for the Raptors fans, was Raptors-Warriors. No Steph, but KD won for 51. Kawhi, I think, had like 38. Pascal had a great game as well. And it was a great overtime victory at home. And I think maybe down the fourth quarter there were some hairy moments. I remember Kyle specifically turned down an open shot, and I think CJ was in the game maybe. And I think you turned to me and you're like, man, it's really just the Spurs guys I really trust. And it has kind of stuck with me ever since, because, like, you know, there is kind of, as Draymond Green once famously said, there are 82-game players and there are 16-game players. And the Raptors, I think this year more than ever, actually have a team with more 16-game players than 82-game players. And so let's just rank them all in terms of playoff trustworthiness. All right, so I'll give you the first pick.
Okay. Can I go 1A, 1B, and 1C?
Yeah,
there's
fine.
Like three guys that I trust.
The top of the list is pretty
top,
easy.
Very top, like, I would go Kawhi, Danny, and Mark.
Yeah.
Is the three guys that when they're on the floor in, like, the fourth quarter of games, like, there's just a level of comfort that I think you would agree with me that you've never had watching the Raptors.
No. Never. I mean, the thing with Kawhi, like, people do, like, people start taking offense to, like, okay, he, like, takes isolation shots or whatever, but, like, are we kidding me? Like, Kawhi's true shooting percentage in the clutch scenarios this year is, like, 60%. He's had multiple game winners. I don't even know what else you want from him.
And he's playing probably at, I would say, he's not coasting, but he's playing at, like, 70%.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, I have been telling everyone that it would not surprise me if he averaged, like, 40 points in the first round.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but it does feel like he can do it. Like, I'm thinking more closer to like 35 even, but like, if you look, and this is the thing, it's not hyperbole, because if you look at Kawhi's playoff numbers, all right, the last time Kawhi was in the playoffs, let me just read you this, if I can actually find the stat line
while he finds it. Here's what I'm saying though, like, in the playoffs, obviously the minutes are going to bump up.
Yeah.
The usage rate is going to bump up. And he's already like putting up 30 points a game pretty much per night, just playing what he's playing at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like his baseline.
Yeah.
Like, and you can talk about like, you know, defenses are going to scheme against him, et cetera, but it's Kawhi Leonard.
All right. So I found the stats. So Kawhi's last playoff run, 2016-17, the Spurs made it to the Western Conference Finals. Kawhi famously had the Warriors up like 21 points before Zaza slid his foot under him, and then the Spurs got swept. In that playoff run, Kawhi averaged 28 points a game, 8 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 1.7 steals, shooting 52% from the field, 45% from three, and shot 8.5 free throws per game at 93% clip. Now, if you just zoom out and look at just the first round series against Memphis, which was a really good series, Memphis, that was probably the last year they were respectable. Kawhi in that series averaged 31 points a game, 6 rebounds, shot 55% from the field, 48% from deep, shot 10 free throws a game. That was when Fizdale went.
Take that for data.
Take that for data. You're not going to
rook me. How many shots did Kawhi average per game, like that series or in the playoffs that year?
In the playoffs that year, he averaged about 17 shots a game.
I'm thinking he's going to be like 20 plus with the Raptors.
I mean, he's already at 19 right now in this season with the Raptors. So
that's going to go up.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't. I agree with you in the top three. Those guys are there's two champions right there. A finals MVP, a former defensive player of the year. Like, even Marc Gasol, I wrote about it, like, you know, like the returns on it, it's not like it's disappointing, but it hasn't been like necessarily a home run because, you know, JV's also played really well. But at the same time, like, I do trust him a lot more, especially like it's something that I think Eric Spoelstra said before the Heat game was like, Gasol gives the Raptors another guy who's not sick at sea during a short shot clock situation in a clutch scenario. And like, I mean, how many times have we seen with the Raptors, right? Like, in a tight scenario, they get kind of tight as a team. So I'm happy to have Kawhi. I will take the next pick. And I'm gonna say Kyle Lowry. And here's the thing. I know Kyle Lowry's got a lot of flack. And apparently Kyle also spoke about this yesterday at practice. He talked to Bruce Arthur of the Star. And he's sort of defending himself. Like, look at my stats after that. Remember that whole, like, the playoff Lowry thing really became a thing when he locked himself in the gym and it was like 1 a.m. and he had his hoodie.
Yeah, that was after the game one loss to the Miami Heat.
Right. And he was shooting like 30% at the time.
And I saw the stats, like, since then in the playoffs, he's like 40% from three, right?
Yeah, 40% from three. Like, last year, he averaged like 17 points a game, mm-hmm. 8 assists. It didn't prevent the Raptors from getting swept, but he was much better in that series than just about any other Raptor, to be honest. So I'm going to go with Kyle. And I think especially now that Kyle's in this role where his scoring isn't as imperative for him, like, I'm never going to have to see Kyle squeak through a double team and then throw up a floater over Kevin Garnett and, you know, Paul Pierce in the lane, right? Like, it's not even about the players involved there. It's just that Kyle shouldn't be the guy in that situation that has to create that shot for you. If you're relying on Kyle to specifically score, that's too much.
That's the
and
thing.
If you have Kawhi, that's if you have Kawhi, you got Pascal, you got even Mark. Like, I'm not as worried about Kyle having to do that thing.
That's the thing. It's not to downplay what Kyle needs to do in the playoffs, but it's not, like you said, it's not going to be about his numbers, right? Like, I think you want Kyle to be healthy, making shots. And the other thing is, like, once Nick gets rid of the all bench lineups permanently, you want Kyle to be the guy who lifts those other lineups, right? Like, when he's out there with the four bench guys and things like that. So, you know, that's what I want Kyle to do in the playoffs. And I feel like getting Kawhi is going to make Kyle better in the playoffs because he doesn't have to do all those other things that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's the thing. He's always been very, very good. Even when he struggled with his shot, he would always contribute.
You check the plus-minus numbers and
every
all that
time.
Stuff, right?
And that's the thing. That's what the plus-minus numbers there are capturing, is the fact that Kyle is still giving you great effort defensively. He's still setting the pace, still playing defense, stuff like that. Okay, so we got the top four trustworthiness. Who's your fifth player?
Fifth player, I think I'm going to go with Pascal.
You're going with Pascal?
Yeah. Do you agree with that? Actually, can I change that?
Okay, yeah, sure.
I'm going to go with Fred.
You're going to go with Fred? Wow, okay. Explain Fred over Pascal in this case.
Well, it's not really like Fred over Pascal. It's just more, I think Fred's got the skill set that's going to pay off in the playoffs, and he looks healthy now. And obviously, last year, he had to come back from an injury on a pretty quick turnaround in the playoffs, and he basically wasn't himself, right? For the first couple of games, like, it seemed like every shot he was, like, hurting himself just to, like, launch them. So,
Well, I mean, the Raptors had to get 60 wins, you know? So badly.
I don't want to talk about that Miami game.
Yeah.
So I just think there's a level of trust with Fred. You know, he's always been one of those guys too when he's out there on the floor in the fourth quarter. Like, you can talk about things that Fred does well and doesn't do well, but when it comes to shot making and things like that, and just not being afraid of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I know that stuff is like cliche sometimes, but like, you see that in guys.
And it's a mentality.
Yeah, and I feel like Fred has that. Like, if Fred is out there on the floor in the fourth with some of these other starters, like, I'll feel pretty good in the playoffs. So I'm not saying like Pascal is not, but like, you know, Fred's a guy that I think is going to be one of the stabilizing guys in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing I would say about Fred is that in the playoffs, it's like more physical. And I feel like a guy like Fred, because of his like height and size, like, it might affect his game a little bit, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, since Fred's come back from injury and he's going to be completely fresh, he's looked like a completely different player. So I'm not going to...
Might be a little recency bias here with me too, seeing how Fred has been lately, but maybe, I mean,
he's crossed out Russell Westbrook recently, Paul George, like, he's
but like even
nice
going
moves.
even going into the playoffs last year, you know, I was telling everyone, I'm like, yo, Fred's going to be a difference maker.
Yeah, Fred's
that
dude.
He's going to be like Mike Bibby on the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
That was like exaggeration, but like, you know, like Mike, the reason I make that comparison is because like on those Kings teams, everybody was so shook.
Right.
When it came down to crunch time, and Bibby was the only guy who wasn't. And last year, how many guys were shook? How many shook guys? Like, this list would have been a lot different last year.
Man.
First of all three guys on that list weren't here last year that we put at the very top. Mark's only been here like 3 weeks, four weeks, and he's already shot up to number one.
I trust Mark.
It's the basketball IQ thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. That's something that Kyle also talked about on the Danny Green pod, which, but just listen to that thing. All right? I'm telling you,
many promotions do you have to do per podcast?
I actually have a contract that stipulates that. No, I'm kidding. No, seriously, that episode was great. But Kyle talked about it with Danny. He's like, he was just like, I'm so impressed with how much basketball IQ is on the team. It's just never happened before, because the one thing was the Raptors were younger, but also it's just the Raptors didn't have intuitive players like this, or if they did, it would be guys like Louis Scola who couldn't play actual minutes because their bodies were breaking down. The one thing I'm concerned about, the reason I think you and I are both a little bit skeptical of Pascal, is because like, I felt like there was excitement for him going into the playoffs last year, and obviously he wasn't at this level last year, but in the playoffs I thought Pascal was kind of disappointing, especially in the Wizards series. I thought he got himself into foul trouble like every single game. I'm looking at the numbers now. Pascal last year per 36 minutes was averaging 5.4 fouls per game. So he couldn't even stay on the floor, right? Now, he eventually broke through, and I think he sort of hit a, you know, there's a bell curve with the whole thing, and it's sort of like, all right, so he was at one end of it, and he got better as the year went on. But, I mean, that's the thing I'm concerned about. But also, like, you know, the one thing I will trust about Pascal is that in this season, when the Raptors have had these big games, pressure games, big moments, things like that, nationally televised games,
He has stepped up.
Like, you looked at that game against the Warriors. You look at games he's had against the Celtics recently, and, you know, the Sixers, and just like
the loss against the Thunder, he was great.
Loss against the Thunder. I mean, he has been he's been excellent, and he's been doing everything the Raptors needed him to do, and even against the Bucks, he's had a really good couple games against the Bucks as well. So
the thing I'm curious about with Pascal, like, the thing is, you know, he's going to bring the energy level.
Right.
Like, I think that's going to be a plus for the Raptors, obviously. But what happens if he misses his first four corner threes? Like, what happens if that shooting kind of dips a little bit? And, you know, teams are obviously going to give him some of those shots, given the other guys that are on the floor.
Right.
Like, what's going to happen? Is he going to stop shooting? Like, is that something that's going to... Like, we saw a little bit... I mean, it's not the same case, but like with DeMar or even like JV. Remember JV was shooting a bunch of threes last year?
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to make a big deal out of that. And then I think in the playoffs, it even hit a three.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No,
so obviously, I don't think it's going to be that extreme with Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what if he goes 1-for-10 in game one from three? How's that going to translate?
Yeah, I hear you. And that is a concern I have too. But I do feel like, you know, this is one of the things where at least he's had the entire season to really build up confidence. By the way, JV, 2-of-5 from three last year in the playoffs.
I take it back.
How dare you? How dare you? The JV hive is going to be all over you now.
JV Hive's still around?
Oh,
they just all migrated to Memphis?
They're actually now just anti-Marcus L. Hive. That's actually part of why I wrote that piece. Because people keep talking about it. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel
JV
like
JV Hive has lifted your career with all the clicks that they've given you.
That is true, actually. I should really be thankful. Okay, so those are, well, I guess we're now at six players. Yeah. We haven't talked about Serge. Mafuzishev. Mafuzishev had a great game one in last year's playoffs. against the Wizards, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember like I was in the basement of the Doc Ellis, screaming with my boys and being like, yo, look at this playoff surge. He told us he's gonna do it, and he had like 32-12 against Marcin Gortat, and then he had like, I remember, I just
he
remember
had more you, more turnovers than rebounds. You, I think for the rest of the series,
you tweeted that like after every game, you're like, so Serge, he's got some turnovers. Yeah, Serge faded last year, which is kind of concerning because Serge also has a track record. He's also a guy, like what we mentioned, of the first three. Like, he's a battle-tested guy. He's gone to the finals before, got to the Western Conference Finals. He's been in a lot of battles, and he's performed too. And it was so shocking to see him, you know, fall off like that last year.
So if you assume, do we agree that Mark is probably going to start in the playoffs in most matchups?
Yeah. Yeah. So against the Celtics, Serge starts, but otherwise,
yeah, but
no.
The Celtics will be eliminated in the first round, so that won't be an issue. Okay. So if Serge is coming off the bench, I think that's either a good or bad thing. You know, if he's in a more limited role, he can come in and maybe change the game a little bit. You know, whether it's with his rim protection or you know, with some giving him. I think you were the one who said they should give him a few more touches.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but he
you
needs
can't ask
to,
him to sacrifice the yes. starting role immediately and then just come off the bench and only get garbage buckets. Yeah. That's too much.
And I assume he'll be playing with Kyle Moore in the playoffs.
Yep, for sure.
Which, you know, is going to make him much better on the offensive end. So I don't know. I definitely, you know, there's reasons why, like you outlined, why we didn't put Serge on our top five or six in the trustworthiness. But it's nice to have someone with his skill set come off the bench.
That is true.
15, 20 minutes a game, right?
You want to pick the next guy?
Who else do we have?
OG or Norm. Yeah, that's it.
Wow, you didn't even mention Jeremy Lin. He doesn't get a mention?
He's going to be great. Yeah. He's going to be great on
Kim. You know what? I'll go with Norm.
Yeah.
I feel like Norm's really inconsistent, like you said.
I mean,
but
playoff Norm is a thing.
Playoff Norm is a thing, and like Norm is going to like impact at least one game in the playoffs positively.
Wow.
I feel like. But I also said that Jeremy Lin's going to hit the game-winning shot in like the Eastern Conference Finals, so.
Okay.
Are you picturing that right now?
Yeah, I can't wait.
And then they play every day I'm shuffling at the arena?
That has to stop. I don't understand why they're doing that. But yeah, that has to stop.
Yeah, Game Ops needs to consult me, man. Honestly, consult Will and I.
Yeah, definitely.
Just let Will and I run like basically like anything Jeremy Lin related. Okay, you were gonna say anything Asian related.
Yeah, anything Asian related.
No, I'm not thinking that big. Well, yeah. Just Lin related.
No, you gotta stick it out right now. Yeah, here's the thing with Norm. All right, remember in the Milwaukee series, he got put into the starting lineup, and he averaged in the last four games of that series where the Raptors went 3-1 to close it out. He averaged 14 points a game. He shot 56% from the field, 90% from three. Now, he's not going to shoot 90% on anything going forward, but it's still worth mentioning that he shot 90% from three and was a huge difference maker in that series. Now, granted, he was replacing Damari Carroll, who was very much broken down with a knee thing and also apparently locker room trust issues that he couldn't overcome. But I feel like Norm does have a gear in the playoffs, and I feel like Norm and OG to some extent, and obviously OG's the last guy we're probably going to talk about, but they're going to have to actually play a role with the team, especially if they do play more small ball, right? Because we saw against, you know, the Hornets, like the whole comeback was, you know, predicated on the fact that you have a guy like Pascal who's so talented, so energetic, he can play small ball five. But in order to do that, you need another wing to go with it. And you can't really buy actual minutes in the playoffs if you have a super tiny backcourt of Kyle and Fred VanVleet. And so, you know, you kind of need one of these guys, and really I'm just talking about Norm, or OG to pop and give you reliable minutes if you're ever going to win that small ball group. And I feel like out of the two of them this season, I might actually trust Norm just a little bit more than OG.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
And it's the thing with OG. He actually played really well in last year's playoffs too. Like he had that.
That's the thing. That's the thing with OG. I think, again, I'm basing a little bit just based on his performance this season, is that OG was not afraid of the moment at all. And he was making good. He was making shots. Remember Markieff Morris, I think. Tried to get at him a little bit, and OG was not rattled at all, and then they just left him alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll count on OG. I'm just not sure, like you said, like he needs to play within his own game.
Right.
And that's the concern for me. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, if he does that, then I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll see.
Yeah, if we can get last year's OG in this year's playoffs, that'd be great. OG last year's playoffs obviously had that 20-point game in the comeback against Cleveland before LeBron hit that, floating dagger over
him. Yeah, I wish that didn't happen for, like, many reasons, but also because OG had such a great game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you had a coach that told the team to trap LeBron or double LeBron or anything, you know, I mean, it's not like LeBron was going to get the ball. How could you see LeBron getting the ball on the last play of the game like that? And why would you send OG to pressure him full court in one-on-one coverage? That's these are decisions that people make. But yeah, OG was great in the playoffs last year. I mean, even aside from that game, I mean, he still averaged 8 points a game, shot 56% from the field, 45% from three, and like he wasn't taking a lot of shots, but he stayed within himself. He played within the offense, and he played great. So,
and I think sometimes for players, when the playoffs start, it's kind of like a fresh slate, like clean slate for them.
Exactly.
So I think when the playoffs start for OG, like he can kind of just leave this whole season behind.
Yeah, stop trying to do like random jab steps into like little, you know, like every time he spins, I'm like, no, this is it's not going to go well.
Yeah, and I don't know if you talked about this on like another podcast, but it's like that might be the one thing that will really pay off with Nick playing all these different lineups and putting these guys in different roles. It's like, okay, like the roles are going to be more defined when the playoffs start, and these guys are going to be comfortable in those roles and also adjusting to playing with different guys as they go, right?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't mind though that those roles were defined like now.
Well, I was to be honest, I thought they were gonna start being defined like after the All-Star break.
Yeah,
but I know like injuries got in the way and they've shuffled in like new players.
Yeah,
every day he's shuffling, man.
I hate that song, man. I hate that song. I hate that it's for Jeremy.
We need to come up with like 10 song suggestions.
Yeah.
That we'll just tweet out.
Yeah,
and see if we have enough clout that suddenly the song's going to change.
I've been watching some Asian dramas on Netflix, so I actually have some Asian songs.
But is this worth the fight? Like, how many baskets is Jeremy going to score in the playoffs?
Oh, come on. Come on. How dare you, man? Yeah, not many. Well, Jeremy, we're pulling for
Yo,
you.
Yo,
we're
Jeremy,
all rooting
man.
For you, man.
There's no
I will always root for Jeremy.
Supporters of Jeremy than Will and I. Well, actually, there's millions of them
that are
bigger than us.
And they're all signing a petition to the NBA that Jeremy's not getting enough foul calls and there is a conspiracy. But no, man, I mean, I was so excited. I was literally hopping on a flight to Colombia, and I was like, let me quickly, before the flight takes off and I'm like out of the range for mobile data, to punch out four quick points. And then while I was on the flight, which was like a 4-point, it was like a 5-hour flight from Pearson to Bogota, it was like I just spent like half that flight writing more points about Jeremy off preloaded like actual like basketball reference pages I had for Jeremy just to gas him up. And then it's been disappointing. It's been disappointing. But
I wouldn't trade it
for the world. I still root for you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to finish the show by taking some Twitter questions. I told people that they should send questions about how hungry are you. So there's a lot of how hungry are you questions. So we'll probably zoom through this, all right? First off, from Karan Sharma, three players around the league you would like to see on How Hungry Are You?
Marquise Chris.
Okay, yeah, good. James Johnson.
James.
Robin Lopez.
Steven Adams. Actually, I think Steven Adams, like seriously, Steven Adams has been well documented to be just a guy who just eats insane amounts of portion of food, and you know him and Serge have a relationship going back to the time, so I think that would be cool. And in the same vein, I would say Russell Westbrook, because I think, like you said, so much of that show is about seeing these athletes in a different light, even if it's just for like a 10-minute thing. I would love for Russ to have a conversation with Serge, and Serge is the type of guy that when you have a conversation with, like, you're probably more willing to open up and joke around and talk about things.
Yeah,
you know what? I'll wrap it up with KD.
And KD, okay,
yeah,
there you
and
go.
And KD.
Just you know what? Have
actually,
have
I don't
Jim
know
Harden
if
on there too.
I don't know if anyone can make KD like
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So let's go, James Harden.
KD's already got his own YouTube channel where he just sits in his living room. And,
oh, is this the boardroom?
No.
This is like separate.
No. There's another thing he does where he like sits in a. He just like sits at home on his Lazy Boy and then like pulls up an iPad and starts talking about like, man, John Morant. He's good right here. Look at that Hezzy Jimbo. And then, like, you'll just, like, go through these high school players. I thought it was actually pretty useful.
Yo, but shouts to...
Because I didn't know most of those guys.
Yo, for all the NBA players and their managers listening to this, you know, should holler at me more, man. Like, I feel like a lot of athletes sometimes want to show the fans a different side of them. But there are ways to do it. Like, you need someone that is connected to the fans.
Definitely.
That's connected to, like, what people online are talking about and what people actually care to see, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes if you're only working with your own inner circle,
you lose
sight of that.
Exactly.
You
it's an echo chamber.
Because a lot of people can just be like
that's how the boardroom got made with KD.
Well, if you use KD as an example with like Rich Klayman,
climbing, yeah.
Like, you, like, they only know so much mm-hmm. about the audience, right?
Mm.
Like, they'll just think, oh, we'll just put KD on and it'll be interesting.
Right.
But it's, you'll be surprised. It's like, people put out, like, Players Tribune essays and things like that. There's an appetite for that, but it's also got to be interesting.
Exactly.
It's not like everyone's going to be like, oh my God, like this person, this athlete has his own YouTube channel and he's filming himself going around.
Yeah.
That doesn't inherently make it interesting just because that person is famous. You need to be actually showing things.
Right.
So.
Yeah, fame only gets you in the door. Yeah,
anyways, that's my pitch of for every NBA player to hire me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. There we go. I can't wait till you're scripting Pat McCaw next year. I'm actually only going to take How Hungry Are You questions. Shankar asks, is the Kawhi episode dropping before 11:50 p.m. on June 30th? How crazy would it be if he announced on How Hungry Are You that I'm re-signing and then he bites into, I don't know. I even know.
If that happened, I would have broken all rules and leaked it already.
Yeah, that's true. I'm ruining a... I'm already Asian and I'm starting to run out of like weird food parts to think about. Like sometimes it's just like stomach, like intestines, like...
Is there anything you won't try?
No. I think the craziest things I've ever eaten was, like, I ate a bag of crickets. Like, it literally was... Oh, cicadas. And it was, like, seasoned and things like that.
That doesn't even... Like, when I hear that, that doesn't gross me out.
It was, like, it was like a bulk barn. And it was, like, it's you just crunchy. Got a bag. It's really crunchy. It was crunchy. It was weird. I mean, to freak people out a little bit, but it was weird that the legs were a little bit, like, they would stick a little bit. It's, like, almost like you're getting your teeth flossed. Yeah. But no, it was actually, it tasted pretty good.
As long as it's not moving.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Although we do like that too.
What do we eat that's moving?
I went to this restaurant in Scarborough once. Where I hope people are still listening to the podcast. We'll talk more Raptors. But I went to this restaurant in Scarborough once where I think the way like the Chinese people like to eat some of the food is like how fresh it is.
Yeah.
And fresh is like proximity to life. Mm. And so the chef was able to like, prepare and cook the body of the fish while the head was still kind of alive. So when it was served at the table, like the head was still kind of moving. And now this is normally not what I would normally eat, but I don't know. It was fine. It tasted like regular fish. Didn't really taste the extra life in there. Next one from Kawhi Leonard. Do you think Serge can bake a cake better than the cake Kalari has? Wow. That's also addressed on the next episode of Inside the Green Room.
Well, I also think if I were to suggest an alternative show that Serge should do is mm-hmm. he should start doing like a competition show. Like he should start cooking and baking and doing things against other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether it's real chefs or players.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Hire me.
Yeah. Serge. Next one from Raps Fan 1237. What would be the top five Canadian foods you would want to put on How Hungry Are You that other cultures would find absurd? So I guess we're trying to flip the perspective.
Oh, so like poutine?
Yeah, here's the thing. Is poutine actually Canada's national dish? Because that's kind of disappointing, you know? Like, Canada has some good cooking, and poutine is just kind of a mess.
Yeah, but that's the first thing you think of when people say Canadian food, though.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. It's like that, or maple syrup, or...
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, I can't really think of five.
How many Canadian foods are there? Beaver tails?
Oh, yeah, beaver tails.
But that's not absurd. Overrated. It's just like a... What? Beaver tails are good. What are you talking about?
Novelty.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, I don't think there's a lot of signature Canadian foods. Maybe we're wrong.
Rolson.
So him and Jeremy talked about Rolson. So Jeremy's gone to Rolson, or Serge was trying to pitch.
Serge
Jeremy?
Has recommended Rolson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll say this. Okay, I was really happy to find out Serge was going to Rolson, but then when I saw his order, it was kind of disappointing. First off, he went to Rolson but didn't order dim sum, which I didn't even know that was possible, and he was getting like fried rice and like Chinese broccoli and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a disappointing order, you know?
Serge has talked about how why he appreciates Rolson is because the way he grew up, like a lot of times, like sometimes he would have to go to restaurants and actually beg them for food just because of the way he grew up and the surroundings that he was in. So like he really appreciates just not just like the high-end restaurants mm-hmm. and the five-star places that he can go to, and I think there's like a familiarity, and he just likes the feel of probably just Chinatown in general.
Yeah, probably.
And like dealing with the staff at Rolson and things like that. So shouts to Rolson. Rolson should do something with the Raptors.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the Rolson practice facility.
Because Masai already did he already had Mama Land catered, which shout out Mama Land by Lansdowne Station.
Yo, OVO Rolson collab?
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Are you kidding me? I'm first in the
Asians
door
already are the only people who like overspend on OVO sweaters.
You know, overspending anything, actually. That's how the economy
we overspend and underspend, but this is not the podcast.
That's true. That's true. There's two types of Asians. There's Crazy Rich and then the rest of us. But all right, next one from William. Will we see Masai on the show? Or will he be asked and instead send Bobby in his place?
That's probably what would happen if Masai was asked. I think Serge is done filming for the season.
Okay.
Is the thing.
That's
so
fair. He's got to focus on
so Bobby. We'll see how all the things play out next season. If Serge is still around, maybe that'll happen.
Mm. Some questions. Beef Heart ain't that bad. I mean,
yeah, I don't think
it looked pretty good, to be honest.
I honestly don't think any of the food is bad.
Okay, the fish eyes was weird. And the lamb brains, I'm a little bit skeptical. I'm a little bit leery of eating brains, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I might need to talk to my parents, but I've been conditioned where, like, I never find these foods to be, like, I never hesitate to try them.
I don't find them gross. I just find them strange, like, to eat a brain, but.
I just always wish there was, like, a bowl of rice there that I could eat it with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You can write it into the next show. So I think we're mostly done with the How Hungry Are You questions. We'll take one more actual basketball one. This one from Matt. What has more to do with Jason Tatum's poor sophomore season? Practicing with Kobe or Danny and Kawhi's double block in game two of the season? First off, one of the great moments in Raptors history.
I forgot about the double block. It's been
that
a long season.
That was incredible. That was like the first like actual test the Raptors had.
That's going to be the first scene of the Raptors championship DVD.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I would go with that because, you know, the Kobe thing is funny to talk about, but didn't Kobe work out with Giannis too?
Yeah, Kobe works out with everybody. Yeah.
So double block. Double block got Jason Tatum shook.
Remember when...
And Kyrie's bad energy.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Kyrie's bad energy is... I can't wait for his psychic Kyrie after the career. He just like opens like a $20 fortune teller store. But do you remember when Ben McLemore asked Kobe? He tweeted out and he was like, Kobe, I'm still waiting for my Mamba challenge and just never got an answer.
Did Kobe acknowledge it at all?
No, never. Because like that was your Kobe was like, I challenge like DeMar to rediscover his roots, and like I challenge Giannis to be the MVP, and I challenge like Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, and Isaiah Thomas was popping though.
Yeah, that's true.
He was popping.
And then Ben McLemore was like, "What's up?" And then Kobe just said nothing.
That's
nothing.
That's why you never reach out to people online at risk of just being like they just don't respond.
Yeah, that's right. All right, and then last question from Sugar Danny. When is he going to feature on an MC Gin track? I'm assuming that's you. So,
I rapped over some tracks, you know, back in high school.
Yeah.
That I can still probably find on
cassette
sites that probably don't exist anymore.
Oh, okay.
There's an MP3 file out there of me rapping over some Drake instrumentals.
Wow.
I wanted once to remake his whole So Far Gone album, but all the lyrics were Popeyes related. This is actually a real story.
All Asian immigrants.
So I did that. I recorded a track over his intro instrumental called Fireworks, and then I posted it on the Popeyes Canada Facebook page. This is a real story. And then they sent me some swag. This was like when I was in high school, possibly university.
And now you're doing this.
Might have been 30 years old. Yeah.
And now you're helping start the show.
And now I'm an esteemed guest on Raptors Over Everything.
That's right.
Shout out Joe Wolfon.
Shout out Joe Wolfman one more time. I think that does it for the podcast. Thanks to Alex, a.k.a. Stephen LeBron. Stephen underscore LeBron, by the way. Follow him on Twitter, Stephen underscore LeBron. Follow him on Instagram. What's more important, Instagram or Twitter at this point?
Neither. I'm good. I just want to like live my life.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Didn't you get a huge surge in followers after you broke the whole thing? The Kawhi appearance?
Yeah, a little bit. It's cool. But yeah. Doesn't matter. I just want to live my life, be happy, live, laugh, love.
Wow. All right. Well, that does it for the podcast. Once again, thank you for listening to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. As a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It helps a lot with the success of the show. I think right now we're like number two in the charts. It's very temporary, but I'm very much enjoying the love that it's getting. So if you have enjoyed the reaction podcast or the recap podcast that comes out every week, usually on Tuesdays, please consider supporting the show. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.